you would turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 8 to 15. And I think somebody needs to hear a word of encouragement today. Someone needs to understand that they're not going through these things by themselves. And someone needs to understand that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's for somebody this morning. Hang in there. Help is coming. Amen? Amen. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8, reading down to verse 15, talking about stuff going on to set this text up a little bit. Those shepherds were out in the field doing their thing. What they thought was going to be just another day in the life of a shepherd, God shows up and something amazing happens. Amen. How many are waiting for God to show up and something amazing happen? How many are praying that some of those things would take place? Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with an angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." I want you to know this morning, the greatest announcement, the greatest proclamation, the greatest truth that has ever been told in the history of mankind is the proclamation that the angels made today in the city of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. I want you to know that what we do with that is going to change eternity for us. Amen. How we respond. See, the truth of what that statement is not the truth that whether it's true or not, because we know that that is the truth. It's the truth is what we're going to do with that. It does not change the fact that Jesus was born the Savior, only what we do with that. For some, we're going to respond like the shepherds did and say, "Let's go find out what's going on here. Let's go see this thing that God is doing, in which God has shown us." For others, and I'm sure there was a few of those shepherds that stayed in the field and said, "Well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to allow this to change my life. I'm not in all the amazement." Can you imagine? I can't imagine. It's got to be the greatest light show that ever went on. It has to be the greatest truth when they're standing out in the field hearing an audible voice of God speaking to them. And they didn't respond, or not all of them respond. I can understand being scared, but I can also imagine the truth of God standing, bringing peace as he says, "Don't be afraid. This is what's happening. This is what's going on." So would you just bow your head for a moment? Father, today as we just come to the third week of Advent and we celebrate the coming of our Savior and what all that means in our journey, what all that means for what you've done from birth to the cross, may we not get so busy with Christmas that we miss the reason for Christmas. May it not be so busy and chaotic that we allow our emotions and time schedules and all of those kinds of things to cause us to miss what you want to say to us. I pray this morning for those that are hurting, that this word would be a word of encouragement. I pray for those that are struggling, that it would be light unto them. I pray this morning, Lord God, for those that are ministering and are heavy because ministry is heavy, that all of these things would be lifted up by the name of Jesus this morning. I pray for those that are journeying and they're not sure what that looks like, and sometimes they don't know which path to take and which road to go and what all that looks like. I pray that you this morning would minister to them also. That collectively, together this morning, we would hear a word from you. And we would apply it to our lives in the way that is needed for our lives for this moment. And we will give you honor and we will give you praise. We will thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are between the incarnated birth of Christ and the second advent of Christ returning. We're jammed up in there. So you can see that there's several generations that are caught up in this moment of time. Each one of us, whether we're senior citizens or newborns, we are caught up in this moment. We're blessed beyond measure because we have the opportunity to be ready for his return and to stand on all of his promises and to experience God's presence like never before. The Old Testament prophets began to prophesy years ago. Isaiah, and Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." To take this verse in right context, you have to understand that this was a time of darkness for the Israelites. This was a time where they were looking for a glimmer of hope. This is a time that they were looking for a redemption. They were in bondage. They were trying to struggle to find themselves. Anybody struggle sometimes to find themselves, struggling why we do what we do, why we have to be in the circumstances that we're in? Isaiah was bringing them hope that there was going to be a Savior. And yet the challenging part was, will they accept it? Will they receive it? Will they be looking for it? And they began looking for a mighty warrior to be able to come and conquer the Romans and bring them out of oppression. And they had the wrong idea of what the Savior was coming to do. The Savior was not coming to just set them free from the Romans and their oppression. He was coming to set them free from their sins. And he was coming to bring a kingdom that would make a difference, a kingdom that had no end. And he would reign not only for a period of time, but for eternity. And his zeal for mankind was to destroy the darkness and bring light. Can you say amen to that? The prophet Isaiah came to prophesy that 700 years before it happened. Do you think sometimes you think things don't happen quick enough? 700 years. And I can understand how some they were looking and probably looked for so long and it didn't happen and they lost heart. For mankind, hearing these words should have been an encouragement. Help's on the way. That's why I said that this morning. Help's on the way. Sometimes we feel like we're all alone, we're isolated, and we're a small speck in an ocean trying to flounder and find our way. But for mankind, that should have been a word of encouragement that there's a coming king, but instead they were looking for this warrior that was going to immediately bail them out of the problem that they're in. Does that sound like today a little bit? Looking for a savior to bail them out of their immediate problems, but not a savior to have a relationship with. Not a savior that you're going to spend your life with and want to allow him into your circumstances and your lives and to get them skeletons out of your closet, sometimes we just want a Savior that is going to bail us out. And we miss out on what he wants to do in our lives because we're so wrapped up in the things that we miss out. Isaiah chapter 59. If you will turn there for a moment, I want to split that verse up into two parts. Isaiah 59, reading verses 1 to 8. Sure, the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice, no one pleads his case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments and speak lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats these eggs will die, and when one is broken, an adder will hatch. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil. The acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are evil thoughts. Ruin and destruction mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks in them will know peace. You read that and you think you need encouragement. You read that, you need encouragement after you read that verse. But you see the heart of man. You see the heart of people in the way that they live their lives. Then jump over to verse 15. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased, and there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what has been done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes, for he will repay the isles of their due. From the west, men will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory, for he will come like a pent-up flood, and the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins. Here you see the two things here. We see the heartbeat of man. We see the desperate state of man. We see that in ourselves we have no redemption, no way of getting out. And Isaiah points out that, yes, that's the way we are, but here comes the Lord. Here comes the Redeemer. Here comes the one that is going to save us. Here's the one that can do what we cannot do. Can we have a listening ear this morning? And understand that our lives are a mess without God. Can you say amen to that? Our lives are a mess. People live out these lives and they're a mess. And Christmas time, picture of a balled up, tangling ball of Christmas lights that you can't get together. That's our life. That they're mess. Picture the song, rigging up the lights, all that kind of stuff going on in our lives. Because we're trying to fix something that only God can fix. We're trying to look to a Redeemer and make him our own kind of Redeemer. And there's only one Redeemer. His name is Jesus. Do you see that we're trying to fix something that we can't fix? Jesus had to come. That's like Jesus 101. It's like the first course that I had in college. It's Jesus 101. You need Jesus. Your life's a mess. Without Jesus, your life is going to be a mess. We are sinners, every one of us. Whether we're a murderer or a good old boy or a good old gal, this morning we are sinners who need Jesus. I know that's not a good place to say amen, but it's amen. We're not good enough to save ourselves. Jesus had to come. God's standard of righteousness is sinless. Did you get that? God's standard of righteousness is sinless. So without Jesus, we can't make it. Without Jesus, we can't be the good old boy or the good old gal. We can't balance the scales. We can't do one more good thing than we do bad. At every funeral I've ever done, there has always been someone that came up to me somewhere during or after the service and says, that person was a good person and they deserve to be in heaven. And I've done some funeral services for unbelievers. And my heart aches because they're thinking that that righteousness that they bring because they're a good person is enough. But when they stand against the righteousness and the scales of God, it's sinless. We need Jesus. The Bible is clear. The Bible is clear. Either you were a rebel of God or you are now a rebel of God. You say amen to that? That hurt, didn't it? Nobody wants to hear that we're rebels against God without a relationship with God. Go back to the original text and the shepherds here. I think it's wonderful that God would come to the shepherds. Because if you understood how the shepherds were treated, if you understood how the religious people treated the shepherds because they weren't able to get in there and do their ceremonial washings, and they weren't able to get into the temple, and they weren't able at times to bring this offering onto the temple because they had to be out in the fields miles away from everybody else to take care of their sheep. Little tidbit, they didn't have any hand sanitizer to get them going, you know, where you could just walk by and just grab a little bit and go. That the heavenly angels would break out into song and announce the birth of Jesus Christ to the shepherds shows me that God has a sense of humor. Say amen to that. God has a sense of humor. How many times in your own life have you looked back and go, God, you got a sense of humor? All the time I'm saying, you should do it this way, God. I got the perfect plan. Doesn't do it our way. It still turns out and we think, God, you got a sense of humor because just because I said up, you said down. Just because I said left, you went right. And yet it came out. It turned out. Those religious people wouldn't even admit that God cared about shepherds. They wouldn't even want to admit that God has a heartbeat for all people, not just some people. That the shepherds that watched over that flock were the first ones to witness and experience that the Lamb of God was coming. I think that's some good stuff. I think that's God with a sense of humor. See, announcements are exciting, and a lot of times it's like, do-do-do-do, we got these announcements, you know, we want these weddings, oh, save the date, remember this, come to this, send a flyer out to this, so-and-so's getting married, do-do-do-do, all excited. We think that we, you know, a child is born or a grandson, and I've seen some of you grandmas and grandpas, you know, oh, let me show you a picture of my kids, do-do-do. You know, and it goes all the way to the floor, and we make a big deal out of it. Or we get a new job, and we're excited about it. Or we have a new house. Let me show you my house. I have a house. I don't need to see your house. I'm happy for you. But we're quick to show all that stuff, the things that make our lives special. Sending out those flyers. Sending out those announcements. Going on Facebook and telling people what they ate last night. It's just so exciting. This is how I would have made that announcement of the Christ child. Because everybody, you know, my stuttering, my excitement, and say call it Zabolskiisms and all the things that you guys have said for the last 15 years, I can picture myself. this is how I probably would do it. I am so excited to announce that I am happy to tell everyone that I am thrilled to say that it is an honor to let everyone know that I am pleased to be so excited to announce that a Savior of the world has arrived, and I'm sorry, but I can't stay any longer because I got to find a way to find him. And I'm not reading that again. Because I made it through the first time. That announcement to the shepherds was life-changing. That announcement to the shepherds that they could look up and see the brilliance of God and see the story of God just unfold right in front of them, to me is amazing. And yet I see two things. They have two responses that they can do. They can respond immediately and go to try to find the Christ child. They can respond immediately and drop what they're doing to see what God was doing. Or they can live their lives the way they always lived. And I think it's sad that so many today, because God is still doing amazing things, God is still wanting to work in people's lives, God is still talking if we would listen. And yet some don't have time to listen. Some are going to be caught by surprise because they're not moved by this great announcement. They're not moved by things God is doing in their lives. They're not moved by even people that God brings into their lives. And people on this side of the cross, which is you and I, because Christ has already went to the cross. He's done all of these things. He has already come. Looking on this side of the cross, he has already come. He has already gone to the cross. He has already been resurrected. He has already ascended to heaven with the promise of the Holy Spirit to come back. We've actually are past the transfiguration where God goes and promises to come back. And he will one day return without further notice. And how many people will dare stand there on that day and say, I didn't know. That's not fair. You didn't give me one more day. Years ago, and I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, we had a van ministry here. There was one family that was never ready. No matter how much time you gave them, they were never ready. And I couldn't keep a driver. I would send a driver there and it would take 30 or 40 minutes before this family was ready. Me being more spiritual than everyone else, I thought, well, okay, I'm going to drive. I'll get them going. And I found myself waiting. And waiting, and waiting. So one day I say to one of the kids, and there was quite a few kids, and what they do is they would get in the van one at a time, get out of the van one at a time, so you'd have one in, one out, waiting on all of them to come, and you would spend your whole time standing there. So at one point after I've had enough, I said that in 2 minutes, this van is leaving. Go and tell your parents that the van is leaving. One out, one still in. 2 minutes goes by. Young man, step out of the van. I am leaving. Stepped out of the van. I drove away. Now, no one would blame me for trying so hard to make this right, except the parent of the one that I just shagged out of the van. They thought not only was that mean, but that it was unchristian. This family also had a time of coming to church with a towel on her head, wet, but that's another story. But do you see what I'm saying? You have to be ready. If the Lord provided everything that you need, Get in the van. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Get in the van. Be ready. Expect him to be coming. God is giving us these warnings that he's going to return. He gives us the promises that we can stand on. And he gives us a time frame that says, be ready. One day I'm going to return. Be ready. Be looking for me. Yet I see society not watching the times, not believing in the Christ child, not seeing that the birth was just the beginning. It's not the end result. Praise God. Merry Christmas. The Christ child has come. But if he didn't go to the cross, if he didn't process the whole thing, we wouldn't have a redeemer. So it can't stop that. It's a complete journey. It's a complete story. There is so much chaos going on in the world today that we're not looking for a redeemer. Knowing Christ, it makes me look harder for Christ. But for those that don't know Christ, we're so busy to find truth that we miss it. I think of the movie that says, you can't handle the truth. And I believe that's where we're at. Because when you start to talk to somebody, you can see their aggravation. You can see their being mad, that they're being challenged about how they're living, what they're doing, what they need to do in their lives. And you're bringing truth. And I just want to say, you can't handle the truth. But we have a Savior that loves us. And Christmas time is a time where we can love God and we can demonstrate God's love to others. And we can be that witness of what God's wanting to do. We can show people that it's our choice. We don't have to, we choose to. We want to serve God with all our hearts. Not because we deserve it, because we understand how much he loves us. Scripture says, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. No, scripture says that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. That is the Christmas story. When you sense what God has done for you and the Savior coming for you and what you can do for others and how you should love God, that is the Christmas story. Luke 11, 33 and 34 says, no one lights a light and puts it in a place where it is hidden. And sometimes I'm amazed. No one lights a light and puts it in a place where it is hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is a light of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. And I'm telling you this morning, be the light. Shine the light. Let darkness be flooded out because you've entered into a room. Christianity and holiness is a journey. When it's limited to rules and regulations, you've missed it. You can't tell anybody, love Jesus. You can make that a rule, but it's not happening until God gets a hold of their heart and they respond. Just like the angels could say, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you, but some went and some didn't. For a believer, our hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Our light should shine. And when we encounter other people in our lives, they ought to see Jesus. Now, this is kind of cheesy, but this is me. I think of something that's painted, and I think of something that's stained. And I think sometimes when we paint something, we're covering up. But when we stain something, the grain comes out. And it goes down deep. And I'm sitting there thinking that sometimes we need to stop painting our way through life, and we need to be stained. We need to let God absorb into our lives and make a difference. We need God to be allowed to go deep into our lives. So my thought to you this morning as I wrap this up, what does Christmas mean to you? What part does Jesus play in your life. And I'll end with this story that I read, and it just grabbed my heart. It talks about a story of a lady that was in poor health and couldn't get around very well, and she's in this fancy glass shop. And she's wandering around, and she's looking at the different things, and this lady ended up stumbling and hitting a shelf, and you can picture it. Things go flying all over the place. Glass broken everywhere. Caused a chain reaction of everything going. The shelf went down. She fell down. Many pieces are broken. Things are badly damaged. Immediately, the lady began grabbing the stuff and trying to pick it all up. And the manager came and said, "Let me do that. No, I need to pick this up. And I need to pay for everything that I've broken." And the manager says, "Ma'am, come out of there. We'll take care of that. That's why we have insurance. You don't have to pay for anything." And I think that's Jesus. That's Jesus. He takes our broken lives and the things that we cause and some of the things that we do and our stumbling and all the things that go on in our lives. And when we fall and we're sitting in broken pieces trying to fix it, Jesus is the one that's saying, "I got this. Stand up and get out of there, and I'll take care of it." Somebody ought to have said amen there. Hope has a name. May the God of hope fill us to overflowing this morning. And may we have room. If the unbelievers are struggling for room for Jesus, at least can we say this morning that the believers have room for Jesus? Allow God into our lives fully so that we might see the things that he wants to do in our lives. May we be reminded of the truths and the promises that we stand on. Amen. Amen. Don't let Christmas get by. Don't miss the boat. Don't miss the bus. Don't miss the van, however you want to say it. Don't miss it. Let God do what he needs to do in our lives. Father, I thank you this morning. I believe you're speaking to people in our lives, in our circumstances, in our situation. Speaker last night at our ministers' meeting and get together was sharing about a heart too small. And I think sometimes life just causes us to have a shrunken heart. And I'm asking this morning, Lord God, that each one of us would take a look at our heart. Not let all the circumstances and the stuff cause it to shrink. But that with the love of God filling our hearts, that we'd be all that you want us to be, do all that you want us to do, and accomplish that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and in the power of Jesus Christ. At this Christmas season, may our light shine. May we have time for our neighbor, time for those that have been on our heart and we just got too busy and raced right on by. May we be sensitive to hear you and respond, Lord Jesus. And we'll say thank you. We'll thank you for what you've done for us. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.